The offseason is here for the San Francisco Giants. In the last couple episodes, we've talked about, you know, some contract statuses, some decisions that the Giants have to make. We've looked even at some of the potential free agent targets for the team. And coming up today, I want to get a little more specific and talk about the production the Giants got out of the outfield positions this season. There were some disappointing years mixed in, and we never really talked about it much because the team was doing so well. But, you know, Mike Yastrzemski had a down year. Austin Slater, kind of a down year. Alex Dickerson, very much a down year. So we'll talk about those players also who did well, breakout performance from Wade Jr. as an example. And then we'll talk about, you know, the projection for the outfield going into next year and some possible solutions in free agency. So all about the outfield next on Locked On Giants.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this weekend to get in on the action. Thank you so much for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, which now includes YouTube, so check us out there. And as I said on today's show, I want to talk about the outfield specifically. I think it's a really interesting kind of first area of the Giants to dive into because they pretty much had a broad spectrum of performance, and the Giants will have some interesting decisions to make about whether or not basically they want to upgrade in the outfield, because at certain spots, they're kind of locked in with certain players. But the outfield is very much a position of flexibility for the Giants. They don't have anyone on any guaranteed contracts in the outfield. In the starting rotation, we've talked about this a bunch already, but they only have Logan Webb locked up. Everybody else is going to reach free agency. But in the infield, you know, Buster Posey, they have a club option. Brandon Crawford is under contract. Tommy La Stella is under contract. Evan Longoria is under contract. But when we look at the outfield, that is not the case. There is nobody out there who has a guaranteed contract. So that does not mean that these guys won't be back. The Giants actually are in a good position of, you know, flexibility where they can bring a lot of these guys back if they want to. But the question is going to be, do they want to do it? For example, Alex Dickerson is entering his last year of arbitration eligibility. The Giants, to me, he's, when we start talking about non-tender candidates, he's definitely among them based on the performance this year, and we'll get into that in a minute. But also, Darren Ruff is under club control through the arbitration process. But again, when you're arbitration eligible, that is not a guaranteed contract. The team can just non-tender you, and they don't owe you any additional money. Whereas a guy like Crawford and Longoria, La Stella, and Jake McGee, those guys are under, you know, they have guaranteed contracts for 2022. Anyway, Mike Yastrzemski, Austin Slater, Lamont Wade Jr., Steven Duggar, all these guys can be retained for at least one more year, and in many cases, several more years beyond just one year. But anyway, my point is that it's completely a position of flexibility for the Giants, so they can, you know, if they think they want to make an upgrade, they don't have to commit to any of these guys. So what struck me is that as a whole, the Giants outfielders actually ended up ranking third in Major League Baseball in Fangraph's wins above replacement. They did it with a combination of being generally a good defensive group, relative to other outfielders. They were not really the best offensive group overall. They came in 12th out of 30 teams. As a base running group, they came in 12th out of 30 teams. Defensively, they came in 7th out of 30 teams. So it's kind of, I don't quite understand how all of that adds up to the third most Fangraphs wins above replacement of any team. You know, actually, as I look at this, a lot of that had to do with the fact that they got a lot more plate appearances out of guys playing in the outfield. So that means that there's just more players that, you know, if each individual player has a slight contribution, it's going to add up to wins above replacement. So that honestly speaks to them getting more out of this position than other teams that don't use as many players. So it's kind of an interesting way to think about it. So I'm going to have to get back to you on exactly my thoughts on that. But generally speaking, like I said, if we just want to talk about the offensive contributions of this group, 12th in baseball is not bad. I mean, before Farhan Zaidi took over, the outfield was completely a black hole and a major issue. The Giants were consistently getting like the worst performance in the sport out of their outfield. Now, last year, they got really good production because Alex Dickerson was great. Darren Ruff was great. Austin Slater was great. And Mike Yastrzemski had that MVP-type season. So we really felt like the outfield had turned into a strength, like a real strength for the Giants. But then several players kind of took steps backwards this year. Mike Yastrzemski is kind of the guy for me who stands out. In the 60-game season, of course, you know, not a full season, he was an MVP candidate. And it's funny now to look back on 60 games and kind of call anyone an MVP candidate. And that's not to say he just got lucky or something. But, I mean, in that year, he hit .297 with a .400 on base percentage and .568 slugging. That was a .271 isolated power. Just kind of crazy good numbers across the board. And he played a good right field defense. How about this? This is a great way to put it. He put up more Fangraphs wins above replacement, 2.6, in the 60-game season than he did in 139 games played in 2021, when he put up just 2.2 Fangraphs wins above replacement. So more value in 54 games in 2020 than he produced in 139 games in 2021. That just about says it all. And overall, let me just repeat the slash line from 2020. .297 batting average, .400 on base, .568 slugging. This season, .224 batting average, .311 on base percentage, .457 slugging. So still a good isolated power there, which is the slugging minus batting average and just a better kind of indicator of power because slugging percentage goes up and down depending on your batting average. But if we just kind of want to isolate the power there, that's the number, isolated power. So anyway, he still hit for good power this season with the Giants, but that average and on-base percentage just saw a massive dip. His batting average on balls in play was .370 in 2020 and just .254 in 2021. So, you know, he's a very interesting case because overall in his major league career, the numbers are still good. Because, you know, you combine it all and you combine his 2019, and we're talking about a guy who's been more than 20% above average offensively, but last year or this year, 2021, just 6% above average offensively. So coming up next, we'll continue to look at the outfielders, and eventually we're going to look at some possible solutions in free agency. So stay tuned for that. But first, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can chat with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Giants once a week. Yeah, every single week we go on there and we just chat about the San Francisco Giants, and it's a lot of fun. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You can chat with me seriously like We just hang out and kind of talk about the Giants. People can write in the chat, or you can even come on stage and say something out loud about the Giants. And it's a lot of fun, and it's, you know, there's a good back and forth. So go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Ben Caspick to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this weekend. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Giants, so I'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, as promised, we are going to get into the outfield in even more detail. We're going to talk about, you know, we already mentioned Mike Yastrzemski. He's an interesting case, and he's arbitration eligible potentially. MLB Trade Rumors is saying that he's going to be a Super 2. Now, this is probably a conversation for another day. A Super 2 basically just means you're arbitration eligible a year early based on being in the top, I think it's the top 22% of players in terms of service time who have between 2 and 3 years of service time. It's kind of a complicated thing to say, but basically, normally players have 3 years of pre-arbitration eligibility and then 3 years of arbitration eligibility, and then they reach free agency. But this is basically saying that Yastrzemski would have 2 years of pre-arbitration eligibility and then 4 years of arbitration. So honestly, that would make me happy because it would mean that Yastrzemski is going to get paid more than the league minimum this offseason, which he deserves based on, you know, his situation is a little bit, I don't want to call it unfair, but maybe it is, that he just toiled away in the minor leagues, never got a shot with the Orioles. And then he finally, you know, debuts at the major league level, but he's a little bit older. And so, you know, every year that goes by, it kind of is potentially hindering his ability to make money later on. So if he is, in fact, a Super 2, MLB Trade Rumors is projecting that his salary would be $3.1 million. It's a little bit hefty given the production I just mentioned this year, how he was really not great all season long, pretty much. But I do think there's just very little chance that the Giants would non-tender him, even if he was going to cost you $3 million. So I would be shocked if Yastrzemski isn't back. At the very least, I mean, I don't want to say they're going to trade him, but I would just imagine he's not going to be non-tendered. So anyway, let's move on to some of the other performers. Where do we even start? How about Alex Dickerson? Dickerson, to me, projected in arbitration to make $3 million in 2022 if the Giants decided to tender him a contract. He got $2.1 million in 2021, and typically you get a raise in arbitration even if your performance isn't great. That's just simply the way it works. So anyway, Dickerson endured kind of his first struggling season with the Giants. He hit .233, .304 on base, .420 slugging. So kind of like Mike Yastrzemski, there was some power mixed in, but the on-base percentage generally is where I see, you know, red flags. You don't want to have a .304 on-base percentage. That is very much below average. And the issue with Alex Dickerson is that he's also not a great defender. So if he's not hitting, he's not a fast runner. If he's not hitting, like, that's the one thing he really needs to do. And it just didn't happen this year. Overall, in his major league career, he's been 13% above average offensively. I think he's a pretty easy non-tender guy. And so it's unfortunate. Like, he was kind of the first guy to really start to turn this offense around in 2019. I mean, when he showed up in 2019, he changed that team, and he helped them go on that incredible run in July. And he was such a big part of last year's team as well. So, you know, it's possible that they non-tender him and then, you know, invite him to spring training on maybe a minor league deal. I just don't see them giving him a guaranteed type of contract based on the season we just saw. And he was an automatic out in the playoffs, unfortunately. So that's kind of how I see Alex Dickerson. Now, the next guy I want to talk about for a second is Austin Slater. I consider him a really interesting case because he's obviously you know, a platoon guy who plays against left-handed pitching. And it really did seem to me like he wasn't quite great in that role. Like, I feel as though he in 2020 was just absolutely lethal and deadly and consistently elevated the ball, hard contact in the air against left-handed pitching. But I like, this is one of those cases where my eyes tell me something different than what the actual results were. Because when we look at the actual results, my goodness, Austin Slater against left-handed pitching this season had a 373 on base percentage and a 521 slugging, 237 isolated power, 41% above average by weighted runs created plus. So he was kind of a monster against left-handed pitching. It didn't feel that way watching, honestly. I want to say that he hit too many ground balls. He kind of did. When I look at the ground ball to fly ball ratio in 2020, it was 1.08. So he was kind of, you know, evenly split ground balls and fly balls. Historically, Austin Slater has had trouble getting the ball off the ground. And I think particularly against right-handed pitching, that continues to be an issue. But if he can just elevate against left-handed pitching, then, you know, that is a good thing and something that adds a lot of value to the Giants. And he was able to, I mean, he regressed a little bit in that department in 2021. His ground ball to fly ball ratio went from 1.08 to 1.68. But at the end of the day, Austin Slater against left-handed pitching in his career, still 31% above average production, 376 on base percentage, 478 slugging. So he's a guy who was a Super 2 last year, meaning he reached arbitration eligibility a year early, and so he gets 4 years of arbitration. He made $1.15 million, and his projected arbitration salary by MLB trade rumors for 2022 is $2 million. So I think that's kind of a no-brainer to pick up, even though it did feel like to me he wasn't as good as those numbers actually indicate. But the other thing is that he played a really good defense and he's a good base runner. So Austin Slater actually put together 1.8 Fangraphs wins above replacement in very limited playing time and mostly just playing in a platoon. So I think that Austin Slater will be back and that he was a part of the solution as opposed to a part of any kind of problem. It's hard to say that they had problems given the overall performance of the team this year. I think it all ultimately came down to they didn't hit in the playoffs. Like, they got there even with the bad performance by Alex Dickerson, even with the down year by Mike Yastrzemski. They won 107 games, so it's hard to be too critical about this group. And the issue was just hitting in the playoffs. And honestly, it's a small sample, and so you can't really draw definitive conclusions just because they didn't do a lot of damage in the postseason. So coming up next, we'll talk about the three key players who did quite well in the outfield for the Giants this year: Darren Ruff, Steven Duggar, and Lamont Wade Jr. And we'll look to some possible alternatives to some of the outfielders that exist in free agency. So stay tuned for that. But first, did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's really something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My favorite flavor is raspberry. And what amazes me so much about these Built Bars is that they literally taste like candy bars, but they're actually healthy. 17 to 18 grams of protein, just 130 to 180 calories, and just 4 to 5 grams of sugar. And that is so important to me. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, postseason baseball, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, as promised, we are going to continue looking into the outfield, talking about some of the positive performers for the Giants, who will be back among them, and we'll turn the page looking at some potential replacements for guys. I mean, the one guy so far I mentioned who I don't expect to be back is Alex Dickerson, but, you know, it's going to change everything if Dickerson's not in there, because the whole thing was a platoon at that position with Dickerson and kind of rough. It didn't exactly work out that way. We also had Mike Tauchman playing a lot of games. He played 64 games with the Giants. We had Mauricio Dubon play 74 games with the Giants. Chris Bryant obviously played in the outfield some, and he's a candidate to come back, but also a candidate to not come back. But Darren Ruff was actually the Giants' best outfielder, according to Fangraph's wins above replacement, even though he had far fewer plate appearances than the next closest Giant, Mike Yastrzemski. He actually had a better, more productive season. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that he just tore the cover off the ball. 271 average, 385 on base, 519 slugging. Darren Ruff just continues to be an offensive force. Kind of didn't quite have the postseason that he would want. He did ended on a high note, hit a bomb in game five of the NLDS for the Giants' only run in that game. But overall, Darren Ruff just continues to be a really good player, and he is under club control for two more years via the arbitration process. Projected to make $2.6 million. To me, that's just a no-brainer to pick up. He provides a lot of value to this team. Steven Duggar had a really interesting season with the Giants, but when all was said and done, the offensive kind of gains that we saw out of him this year started to deteriorate, and a lot of it seemed to hinge on an unsustainable batting average on balls in play, which started to creep downwards and downwards as the year went on, and he also continued to strike out a lot. So we're talking a strikeout rate of 29.6%, that's pretty darn high, and a 355 average on balls in play when all was said and done. His career average on balls in play is 334. There was a while where he was up over 400, and it was just clear that that number was going to come down. But when all was said and done, like, he ended up having just like roughly a league average offensive season. So it kind of remains to be seen if that's even sustainable. And when you're talking about, you need somewhat unsustainable numbers just to get to close to league average, there's concerns about the offense playing at the major league level. He continues to be a great defender, and he's a good base runner, kind of a difference-making defender and base runner. So he is an interesting case to me. I don't see him as a guy that they are just going to want to hand like an everyday job to. I think the way that they played him down the stretch or didn't play him down the stretch is a pretty good indicator that they don't necessarily see him as taking on any kind of a larger role moving forward. And he is pre-arbitration eligible, so someone the Giants can retain for the league minimum salary. I do believe he's out of minor league options. That's something I need to look at, but I don't have pulled up right now. So they can't really, if that's true, they can't like shuttle him back and forth between the minors and the majors like they have in the past. And so that would potentially make him a trade candidate to me if that's the case, and they don't want to give him basically a guaranteed full year at the major league level without being able to send him down at any point. So lastly, Lamont Wade Jr. obviously had the really good breakout season with the Giants, kind of a no-show down the stretch and in the postseason, but overall just a really good season for Lamont Wade Jr. Hit 253, 326 on base, 482 slugging, 229 isolated power, 18 home runs in just 109 games. So Wade Jr., you know, he does have minor league options remaining. Actually, I don't think he does. I take that back. He, you know, some of his options were used up when he was with the Twins. And so I think that though, you know, the Giants will want to bring him back, but just know they won't be able to send him down, send him up like they did this year. But I think that's fine. He played well enough that they've seen that he can play at the major league level all season long without needing to option him. So I expect, of course, Lamont Wade Jr. to be back next year and be in that mix as a guy who can play first and corner outfield. So anyway, my kind of grand conclusion is that I do think in the outfield, the Giants would benefit from getting a little bit more athletic and just having, I don't know, there's just a certain, I think they could upgrade at some spots. And I think what we learned this year is that Mike Yastrzemski probably needs to be platooned. And at the beginning of the year, he was kind of playing against everybody. But as time went on, he needed to be platooned. And so you start looking at the free agent class, and there are some interesting names out there. Chris Taylor is someone I keep mentioning as a strong fit. He's versatile. Obviously, Farhan Zaidi, who now runs the Giants, knows him very well from his time with the Dodgers. There's also Starling Marte, who's a difference-making kind of athletic player. Speed is a huge part of his game. Speed was not a big part of this Giants team in 2021, and I think that they would do well to get a little bit more athletic, a little faster. As a team, it would just kind of add a new, interesting, and important, potentially, dynamic to their team that was lacking all season long. So those two guys stand out to me. There's also Tommy Pham, Michael Conforto. There's some good outfielders out there, but it's also not a particularly deep group. Mark Canha is another name, and then, of course, Chris Bryant as well. So anyway, we'll have plenty of time to talk more about these names, but that was kind of a summary of the Giants outfield in 2021. Pretty much a mixed bag. We had like the full spectrum, guys who did great. We didn't have like an everyday player who had a great season. There was a lot of platooning, and I think that maybe they would do well to get potentially just like an everyday center fielder. Maybe Starling Marte makes a lot of sense in that regard. So coming up tomorrow, we'll continue this look at the San Francisco Giants. We'll move on to another position. I haven't yet determined which one, but that is coming up tomorrow. So anyway, once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.